This is a tape measure, but I want you to imagine with me that this represents your life. They say the average Canadian lives about 80 years, which, to be honest, isn't really too bad. But if you were to think about it, for the first 15 years of your life, it's not like you can make many of your own decisions. So let's take off about 15 of those years. Now, we'll start with those 15 years we take off, but then you're probably going to take off another 10 because it's the age of 25 where your brain is kind of fully developed enough to make somewhat wise decisions. And so let's take off about another 10 years. And then if you're any of the like thousands of Edmontonians trying to get in on Edmonton 50-50 and you couldn't get into it, you probably lost about, well, 5 more years off of your life. And then majority of us, we want to be retired by about 65, 67 years old and enjoying the fruits of our labor. And so you're going to probably take off another, well, 13 years off your life. So that only really leaves you with about 37 years. It's gotten a lot smaller, hasn't it? To really make your life count, to make it into something. So let me ask you a question. What do you want to do with that time that's left? Now, I think most of us want, or at least achieve, is best described by the children's story, Goldilocks and the Three Little Bears. Do you remember that story? So you have this girl, she finds a vacant home, she commits breaking and entering. She goes into their bedroom and she finds a hard bed lies down, oh, it's too hard. So she finds the next bed, well, it's too soft. And then she finds a third bed, ah, it's just right. But it wasn't enough to violate their bedroom space, she decided that, oh, let's go into the kitchen and see what's there. And she finds 3 bowls of porridge. And so she dips her spoon into the first one and, ah, it's too hot. The second one, it's too cold. But the third bowl of porridge was just right. The middle, just right. I think we want, we pursue, typically, a pleasured life, a life of comfort. You know, to have enough money to travel enough, that our kids are nice enough, that we're known enough. We work, we strive, and we aim for just right, a life of comfort. And we have, looking at this, only a small amount of time to make that happen. Well, this summer we've been in a series, and maybe you know this already, called Weeds. That's based on one of the teachings of Jesus. It's about the things that choke out the effectiveness of Jesus' work in our lives and in the world around us. Now, Jesus uses the analogy of a farmer who scatters seed and why some never get into the ground, why some never grow, why some maybe do grow, but they get choked out, and why even some flourish. And he explains how there are things that we pursue or hold on to as ideals that can actually stop us from experiencing God's work in our lives and seeing God work through our lives. Do you mind if we read it together? Now, so it's found in the book of Luke, chapter 8, and it goes like this. So the seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil, well, they represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. And this is where we're going to find our weed this week. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. Pleasures of this life sounds a lot like comfort. See, most of us could see how addiction, anger, violence, lying, greed, and even pride could keep us from growing into maturity, and you'd be right. But comfort? Like where most of us are trying to eliminate things that mess with our comfort, Jesus is here trying to eliminate the things that ground our lives in more comforts. Why though? Like, is it that bad? Is it bad to want comfort, to enjoy life? We don't want all of it, just a comfortable amount of it. He's saying to all those listening, including you and including me, that a life in pursuit of pleasure, comfort as the main goal will for a time seem ideal. Spiritually seeking, though, it's actually detrimental. Now, it sounds a little intense, right? Maybe a little unsettling, Like, whatever happened to the Goldilocks story? Like, couldn't you find that somewhere in the Bible? Well, actually, kind of, but there's a bit of a twist, and I want to read to you what Bible verses I'm thinking of here. It's found in this book called Revelations. It's pretty easy to find because it's the last book in the Bible, in chapter 3, and this is what it sounds like. I know all the things that you do, that you're neither hot nor cold, and so far this sounds pretty good, right? Like, we've already learned from the Goldilocks story that hot and cold aren't really the best options. But then the verse moves on. I wish that you were one or the other. Wait a minute. He goes on, but since you're like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Whoa. Kate, there's a twist I was telling you about. Now, the author, his name is John, he's actually writing letters of warning to 7 major churches in the first century. This one was written to the church in Laodicea. Now, here's the context in Laodicea that is written about right after. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. It sounds like they found the porridge that was just right. They were living a life of luxury, a life of comfort. Now, this water metaphor John used in this letter to this church has actually been drawn from the water supply of Laodicea, which was lukewarm, in contrast to the hot springs at nearby Hierapolis and the cold, pure waters of Colossae. The archaeology shows Laodicea had an aqueduct that probably carried water from hot mineral springs some 5 miles south, which would have become tepid before entering the city. The imagery of the Laodicean aqueduct suggests not that hot is good and cold is bad, or one is, you know, better than the other, but that both hot and cold water were at least useful, whereas lukewarm water is a medic. Their lives, in pursuit of pleasure, luxury, comfort, had made their witness useless and had crowded out the work of Jesus in their lives. That was the warning that John was writing about. It's why he probably said, you say, I am rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. That sounds like what we would want. But the letter continues, and you don't realize that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Now, with that in mind, why don't we go back and read again the weeds passage? The seeds that fell among the thorns, they represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow into maturity. A life in pursuit of comfort is one that is useless to the work of Jesus in your life and in the world around you. That's what it's saying. It's neither healing nor refreshing. It's useless. Let me make a quick distinction here, though, before we move on. Being comfortable is not the same as pursuing a life of comfort. It's okay to have nice things, to want a relaxing holiday, and to want great things for your kids. The difference is seeking comfort or luxury or pleasure as the ultimate ideal for your life. Like, that is what you spend your time, your resources, your gifts, and your salvation on to protect. It'll actually end up crowding the work of Jesus in your life. And if we were to take a little bit of time to think about it, I don't think it'd be hard to see why and how that's the case. Like, let's just start with you and me. I think we all know that a life avoiding discomfort at any cost is one that avoids growth at all costs. I mean, at least that's what Dwayne Johnson's yelling at me in his workout videos all the time. See, the work of Jesus in you and in me will often be uncomfortable. And if we lead a life of comfort, we'll eventually start thinking that if it's hard or if it hurts, if it costs us something, then it's not worth it, or that it's wrong, or just let our spiritual health kind of stagnate and become, you guessed it, lukewarm. And it'll sound a lot like, well, praying is too difficult. I just always forget to read my Bible. I kind of go through the day and there's so much going on, I just don't really prioritize it. Or maybe it sounds like, I just don't want to give things up just yet. And we all know, goalposts change with comfort. Like, there's no end to how comfortable we can make ourselves, which increasingly makes our life about you, about me. And that's antithetical to the gospel, to the Jesus-based life. I mean, remember what Jesus said, and you'll find this passage in the book of Matthew. Jesus says this, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. But not only does it affect you and me, it also affects our witness. You are going to have to eat other people's porridge. And you're like, well, what do you mean by that? Well, community, talking and telling about Jesus, discipleship, serving, all those things come at a personal cost. They call for discomfort. And we wouldn't choose to do that naturally, but you and I are called to do all those things as followers of Jesus. And it can maybe sound like this, well, I would like to, but I'm just really busy, or I don't know anyone. What if they ask me a question I don't have an answer to, or I don't really need anyone else? Your life and your witness at that point is neither healing, hot, or refreshing, cold, to those in your life who don't know Jesus. Your witness turns lukewarm, useless. And let me ask you this question. It's probably a good question to ask yourself. If your salvation costs someone else something, like you think about what Jesus sacrificed for you to experience his grace and his love. You think about maybe the person or the people who introduced you to Jesus, and it probably cost them something to do that. Maybe it cost them, shame. Maybe they thought, like, what are they going to think about me? Maybe all we know is that we know it requires some discomfort. So if we know our salvation costs someone else something, why should we think someone else's salvation in our life won't cost us something as well? Now, maybe you're in a place where you find your spiritual life and your witness has grown lukewarm. Maybe what I just said kind of hits home. You can't remember the last time you felt challenged by Jesus to grow, or the last time you were able to share what Jesus had done in you. Can I suggest, like this passage invites us, is to take a few moments and reflect. If you find yourself hung up on a comfortable spiritual life, can I suggest you do the following? First, read. Now, when you're reading this passage, you'll notice that right off the top, Jesus is speaking about the Word of God. The passage started with the seed being the Word of God and hearing it. And so can I encourage you, read, pray, and think over this passage. Either it's right after this message, or it's sometime this week, or maybe use it as your devotional time. Chew on it this week. And maybe I can encourage you, not just yourself, I may even challenge you to read the scripture and think about it with someone else. Now, I know that can sound like, that seems really vulnerable, Thomas. That seems like it's going to cost me a little bit. But can I tell you, it's actually one of the most powerful ways to engage the Bible, is to read it with other people, to think about it with other people. Maybe find someone that you're comfortable with, that you trust, and say, hey, would you mind reading this with me? And let's think about it. Let's pray about it. Maybe think what it means for us. So the first step I encourage you to do is read it. Read this passage over again. Spend some time on it this week. Don't move too fast through it. Secondly, is to reflect on it. And this is what reflection can look like. How about you take some time to remember how you came to know Jesus? Again, the cost that maybe Jesus paid for. Maybe it's going over that story again of Jesus and his last few days and what he's done for you. Maybe it's remembering that moment you got saved and the people involved in that process. Maybe what it cost them, but also the joy and anticipation you had at that moment. And can I encourage you, reflect on that moment. Remind yourself of it. Share it with someone who would like to hear that story. So reflect. And then also want to ask you to ask yourself this question too. Is there something God has been challenging me on that would cause me discomfort that maybe I've been ignoring? Maybe there's something that God's putting his finger on in your life. Maybe there's an opportunity to do something, but you're just like, oh man, that would be kind of really out of my norm. That is out of my comfort zone. Here's the thing, walking with Jesus is about embracing his life and allowing that discomfort to shape you into greater maturity. It's how you and I will grow, how we'll change and transform, and it's an incredible way of experiencing God in brand new ways in our own life. So is there something God has put or is challenging you on that would cause you a bit of discomfort that maybe you've been putting off. Maybe it's time for you to think about what would it look like for me to kind of allow God to do that, or allow God to challenge me in that, or to press into that. Maybe that means reading the Bible. Maybe it means, you know, spending a bit more time in prayer. Maybe it means reaching out to someone. And that leads me to my third point. You read, you reflect, and then you respond. So let me ask you, what's one way you can fight comfort this week? What can you do this week that will invite God's work into your life? So like I said, maybe setting aside time to read or pray or worship. Something that's going to allow God to do something in you, and maybe you'll be able to experience God in a new way. And then on top of that question, ask yourself this: what can I do this week to allow God to work through my life? Is there an opportunity to serve? Is there an opportunity to disciple? Is there an opportunity to help build community, or to talk and tell about my faith? To share Jesus' story with someone that I've kind of been putting off, or makes me a little uncomfortable? Respond. I think one of the ways that we move out of comfort is allowing ourselves to move in that discomfort. And like what Dwayne Johnson yells at me all the time, it's the only way that we're going to change, the only way that we're going to transform, and the only way that we're going to move into what is next for us. And it's no different spiritually. Here's something you can take to the bank. With the time you have on this earth, no matter how much you think it is or how little it is, God wants to do something in your life and through your life. That's really the point of this whole passage. Don't let things crowd out that promise. So read, what is God saying? Reflect, what is Jesus saying to me? And respond, what can Jesus do in me, and what can he do through me? Let me pray for you this morning. Jesus, I thank you that you actually never ask us to do something that you don't do yourself. You lived a life, Jesus, of sacrifice. You gave up riches of being God to come as a servant. You had said yourself, I did not come to be served, but to serve. You lived a life in discomfort so that we can know your love and your grace and have new life. And I pray for each one of us that are listening to this or watching it, help us to work and lead in that kind of living too. To just be thankful that we get to enjoy the life that you gave us and the time that we have, but also to never grow stagnant when it comes to experiencing you in new ways and other people in our life experiencing you for the first time. God, help us never to go cold to that. Amen. Maybe you're watching and you've got questions, or you want to make a decision to follow Jesus. Can I encourage you right now? Go to hopecity.ca/life. It's one of the best places where you can start your journey walking with Jesus. And there is an opportunity for you to let us know that that is your intention. And so again, I encourage you, go to hopecity.ca/life. Well, thanks for being with us. We love that you're connecting with us. We're praying for you. We love you. And we can't wait already for next week.